It took a long time for the thinking to gel. And in the meantime, as deputy plans, I had realized that we ought to do something about updating this 1944 paper on the composition of the Navy. And we were a very small division, and we were very busy indeed, and there wasn't much time, but I started to work on this. That must be my wife. But it was a very complex issue, obviously. Now, what the Navy existed for, what kind of war we were likely to be in, and so on and so on. And it would have helped a great deal if I had had formal staff training where you have a set method of setting out each of these little individual aspects of a complex problem like that and tackling them. Now, of course, in the end we got something together, but in a very busy atmosphere like that, it would have been a hell of a lot easier if there had been a kind of set piece way of doing things. So I think in that respect, staff work would have been good. We should have paid more attention to it. But perhaps we didn't have quite the same, it wasn't quite as essential to us as it was for the Army.
That your comment leads to one additional question. When you talk about improvisation or perhaps doing something a little ad hoc, could one consider the senior officer conferences, which were all taking place during the post-war period, would that be an ad hoc sort of arrangement? They were held so infrequently, often months and it would go by or a year or more before there would be a senior officer's conference to discuss a particular pressing matter as it relates to fleet composition or new weaponry or budget or whatever the particular issue of the day was. Perhaps you could give your observations on the senior officers' conferences and what they were designed to do.
No idea what they were designed to do. Well, I suppose they were designed to do what you said they did, but I'm not sure that they achieved. I think their interest in people were kept up to date. I don't think any major decisions were taken. They were really sort of waving a little boy gathering, this ball, and anything else, I think. And there's a lot of informality about the exchanges. It was just to keep people in the field in touch, I think, and to keep people at headquarters in touch.
Right.
Don't forget that the RSN was very small. It was a largely family atmosphere about it. Everybody knew everybody else. Everybody knew what you were like, whether you were any good. They knew what you'd been up to that you shouldn't have been up to. That kind of thing. In that respect, there was a very different atmosphere from, say, the USN in particular, and also the Royal Navy. Yes, no, I don't think I can really add any useful to the business of the senior officers' conferences.
Am I correct in when I state that many of the people that attended the senior officers' conferences were also sitting on the naval staff and or the naval board?
Yeah. Yeah.
So could the senior officers' conferences facilitate the decision-making process because it was less structured or less formal than naval staff or naval board?
I think they were really more for the benefit of the people in the commands.
All right.
Rather than the... See, a lot of the facilitation that you talk about was done sort of by chit-chat in the corridors and that kind of thing. And the bite on this.
So this was something that continued on during the post-war period?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Because I've heard that sort of comment about even the wartime Navy, that many of the decisions and that were made had taken place informally in the hall on during lunch or that sort of thing, because the Navy was small at the outset of the war, at least.
Yeah. I was never at headquarters during the war, of course, and in fact, I was never had a show job at all during the war. So I have no idea what on. But afterwards, one realized that the Navy had grown so rapidly and in such a haphazard sort of way that there was no organized structure. It just sort of developed to a degree patterned probably on what people knew of the Royal Navy. The association with the Royal Navy was still very strong emotionally, as well as in cooperation and collaboration. So it wasn't until after the war, I think, that things became a little more organized and a little more formal. But even so, the rushing from office to office, talking to people, still went on a great deal then.
I have one last question for you. Did the advent of the American nuclear submarine Nautilus and concerns that the Soviets were going to acquire the same sort of technology speed up the RCN's investigation of the helicopter as an ASW platform? Or do you think that they were firmly on course with that
idea
before?
I think they were firmly on course, but it certainly worried people like hell, because here was this machine that you couldn't catch. So the only way you could do this was the helicopter. So although I think the helicopter was firmly on course then, it really became evident that this was the only way you were going to be able to cope with the nuclear submarine. Apart from fixed wing aircraft, of course, but from the escort's point of view, the close escort point of view, the helicopter was the absolute godsend, especially when you developed dunking sonar as well, and the torpedo.
During your time at headquarters as warfare and then air and warfare, would it be accurate to say that we're seeing a tenfold or a what Norman Friedman calls a post-war naval revolution in, as it relates to technology? The number of weapon systems coming online, everything is changing so quickly, particularly in the ASW field. Was it difficult for it, staff?
In my time, no, I would say it was more evolutionary there rather than revolutionary. I think the big jumps in technology came with miniaturization and the advent of the computer, as was steady improvement. I suppose you could say the dunking solar was a bit of a quantum leap. So it was, but really it was just an extension of the hull-mounted sonar, and again with the variable depth sonar, and again the dunking sonar. It was the obvious thing to put in the helicopter. Once the helicopter, I suppose the helicopter was a major thing, but the really big changes away from a gun to missiles. We had no missiles except Sidewinder on the Banshee aircraft up to the time I left. I went down and did a few days in a guided missile called the Boston in the U.S. Navy. It had the Terrier at that time, it was called, I think. And I was pretty amazed because the electronic control systems and that kind of thing were something I certainly hadn't encountered before. Well, I don't know. Compared to what went after I left, the time that I was there, it was really more evolutionary, I think, than anything else.
Right, but it was the beginning of
a
speeded up process of evaluating new technology and weapon systems.
See, Hagelsbill was when I first, don't forget that after the war, and Manuka, when I first went to see, we were still using vacuum tubes for electronics.
So after you...
Bizarre. So even the tactical trainer had vacuum tubes.
Oh, really?
Yes. The thing was always breaking down. Hundreds of these bloody things, and you only had one, and the whole thing was...
So after you left headquarters in 1958, would that be correct?
Yeah, 58.
And you went to the Defense College to serve as commandant.
Yeah.
And how long were you there for?
4 years.
4 years. So
I became a tri-service an animal, and my association with the Navy really ended. I had plenty to think about without it.
Right.
So that I really didn't think very much about it. I didn't even know what was going on with the Navy to a large extent. But I had to be very careful to be a tri-service animal and not a naval officer.
And you held that position for 4 years,
yep.
Is that correct?
Yep.
And you left the service in 1962?
Yep.
After how many years in? That would have been...
Well, not that long, really. Only 22 years.
22 years.
Yeah, from 1940.
And then you went... So in 1962, you would have gone to the Coast Guard to take up the new position there.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, and there we had fun. There was lots of money in those days. on account, I had at one time more airplanes than the Navy did. That was wonderful. I really loved that.
Well, I don't have any more questions for you this afternoon, Admiral Storrs. I thank you very much for your cooperation.
Although I haven't really been able to contribute very much because I say my memory is going and...
No, there's some very useful information here.
I tried not to make up anything anyway.
That's great. Thank you very much for your time this afternoon.
All the best.